Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We read a portion of our gospel lesson again from Matthew chapter 21. Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. Tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him. But you, when you saw it, didn't even change your minds then and believe him." We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. So, this week we have another vineyard parable, like last week. In this one we have these two sons. One says he won't go work in the vineyard but ends up going, and the other one says, "I will go to work in the vineyard," but never does go to work. And so the question is, what is the difference between these two? To help us understand the difference, we're going to look at differences not only here we find in this parable, but what we also find in the previous sections of Matthew, specifically chapters 20 and 21, because we see a number of differences that are being pointed out in these two chapters. So let's start with where we ended up last week, that other parable, verses 1 through 16. Of chapter 20. So you had the one group who worked all day long, 12 hours, and they said, "We deserve more than those others who worked only 1 hour." And the conclusion was by Jesus, the parable teller, no. What you earn at the end of the day is really not earned by you, but it is a gift. Heaven is a gift. It is not earned. So this is one of those differences. Those people who believe it's earned and those who understand that it is a gift. And then chapter 21, the first part of chapter 21, what do we have? We have Palm Sunday, where Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, and you have people there proclaiming him as the king, the son of David, and the Messiah, and the crowds are going crazy, and they're welcoming him, and they're praising him, and they're honoring him. And of course, there were those who disagreed. And so we have this difference too. Those who acknowledged him and proclaimed him and honored him as the king, as the Messiah, as the son of David, and those who said no. And then we come to verses 12 to 13 of chapter 21. Jesus is cleansing the temple. He's overturning the tables, and he's saying, "My house," notice how he calls it, "my house is a house of prayer, and you have made it into a den of thieves or robbers." So this is an interesting section here. What do we have? We have people who are desecrating the temple by misusing it, using it for the wrong purpose, this house of worship for the wrong purpose. Clearly, Jesus said this is a house of prayer, and the ultimate prayer we bring with us to a house of worship is, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And that mercy is found in that temple, in that place of worship. It's found ultimately in Christ, because the temple represents Christ, the sacrifices point to Christ. So we come with this prayer, "Lord, have mercy," and we have that mercy in Christ. But the others were using the temple in a wrong way. They were misusing it. They were using it to make money. Others were using it to say, "Look at me, how good I am, God." And so there was this great misuse. You have this difference then of misusing the temple and then using it correctly, using it as a house of prayer, as a place of mercy. And then in verses 14 to 17 of chapter 21, we have Jesus healing blind and lame people at the temple. And we read there, "When the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonders, the miracles that he did, and the children shouting in the temple, 'Hosanna to the Son of David.'" The children were still celebrating Jesus riding into town on a donkey. They were still celebrating that and shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Well, these chief priests and the scribes, they were indignant. They were angry. And they said to Jesus, "Do you hear what these children are saying, Jesus? Tell them to stop it." You know, Jesus could have said, "Well, you're right. Maybe these children are going too far, so you have to tone it down, children. I don't want you to have the wrong idea about who I am. I don't want you to believe wrongly about me." But he doesn't say that. What Jesus says after he hears the question, "Do you hear what they're saying?" He says, "Yes, yes." And then what does he do? He says, "Have you never heard it said? Have you never read in the Old Testament, Psalm 8, verse 2? You have prepared praise from the mouths of infants and nursing babies." This is one of those wow or woe claims by Christ. Because Psalm 8 is talking about praising who? Praising God. So Jesus is at least indirectly implying that he is God. So again, we have this difference. Those who believe and confess Jesus as God, and those who do not. And then we have chapter 21, verses 23 to 27. The chief priests and the elders, you might say they've gone and they've regrouped, and now they come back and they say to Jesus, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority?" Now these chief priests and elders, they don't deny what Jesus had said about himself, what others had said about him. They don't deny that he had performed these miracles. They don't deny that he had cleansed the temple. And so what were they doing by asking this question? Well, they were seeking to trap him, because they thought and were convinced, no way is this man coming from God. No way does he have authority from God to do what he's doing. And so they were trying to trap him. Because if they could get Jesus to say, "Well, I'm doing this on the basis of the authority of God, my Father," then they would say, "Oh, we got him. He is committing a blasphemy." But what does Jesus do here? Well, he could have said, "Yeah, I'm doing this by the authority of God the Father," but he doesn't. Instead, he's simply going to silence them at this point. And he does so by asking them a question. He talks to them about the baptism of John the Baptist. He says, "Did John's baptism come from heaven? Or was it of human origin?" So this is the question he asked them. And then they kind of huddle together and they discuss it. And they say, "You know, if we say from heaven, from God, then he will say to us, why didn't you believe John? But if we say from human origin, then we have to face the mass of Jews there who believe that John was in fact a prophet from God, and they were concerned probably for their physical well-being that they might be stoned or something like that. So what do? They come to Jesus and they say, "We don't know." In other words, they're cowards. And so Jesus says to them, "Well, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." And so you have this clear difference again. People who believe that Jesus was sent from God the Father, and those who didn't believe it. And then we come to our parable, where the difference is very clear. Again, you have these two sons. Father says to the first son, "Go work in the vineyard today," and That first son says no. But later on, he changes his mind and he goes. And he says the same thing to the second son. That second son says, okay, I'll go, but he doesn't. And then after he tells this parable, Jesus asks the chief priests and the elders, which of the two did his father's will? And the answer was obvious, and so they couldn't deny the obvious answer, and they said, okay, yeah, the first son was doing the father's will. So what was Jesus doing here? Well, he was changing their minds then and believe him. So what is the difference that Jesus is talking about here? Well, it's important to note that Jesus brings up John the Baptist a second time here. And what was John the Baptist about? What did he preach? What did he do? Well, he said basically three things. Repent of your sins, okay? Number two, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And number three, he pointed to Jesus and he says, behold, this is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So that was the message and the purpose of John the Baptist. And regarding that message, no one was exempt. No one was excluded. There were no privileged classes. It was meant for everyone. It was meant for the first son, prostitutes and tax collectors. And why prostitutes and tax collectors? A little bit strange. Well, who did they represent? Well, they represented the outcasts. Prostitutes and tax collectors had been thrown out of the Jewish synagogue. They had been excluded. And rightly so. They were what we might call in-your-face violators in public or maybe behind closed doors of certain commandments like the fourth commandment, honor your father and mother, definitely the sixth commandment about adultery, seventh commandment, stealing. That's what the tax collectors were about, stealing and the love of money. The ninth and tenth commandments. You could also say they rejected what we now call or have called for a long time, but we're using it more, the God's created order. And this male-female distinction, marriage, raising children. We could also say that these prostitutes and tax collectors were those who were, when they were first invited, said, no, I love my sin. I'm committed to my sin. I'm committed to sex and greed and money and riches, my self-identity, because I am convinced that that's what will bring me satisfaction and fulfillment and joy and peace or whatever. So they said no at first. No, I don't want to be a worker in your kingdom, in your vineyard, God. I don't want to bow before you and your son. I will not call your son my king, my Lord, my Messiah, my Savior. But then at some point in their lives, some of these obvious sinners, we might say, hit bottom, and they realize something is terribly wrong. And they have a change of heart and mind, and they repent, and they turn, and they confessed Jesus as King, Lord, Messiah, Savior, and the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Now, I want to give a word of caution here because of the culture in which we now live. Now, these people, both then and today, are real sinners. And what they do is real sin. And some today are treated as outcasts. And what they are and what they do before coming to work in the vineyard, what they do and what they are must never be glossed over or affirmed or approved of. They are never to be told, especially by us Christians, that what they do and what they are is okay, that they can remain in whatever lifestyle or sin they have taken hold of or has taken hold of them. Are many of them victims in some sense? Yes. But sin in any form is always ugly and rebellion against God. And God requires only one response from them, just like he requires one response from you and me, fellow sinners, and that is repentance. We can listen with compassionate ears and hearts. We can understand that they've had strikes against them, but we cannot truly love them if we treat sin as anything other than sin. And if we communicate to them that they must do something other than what Scripture tells them and us to do, and that is repent. They must understand that they are sinners and have a change of mind and heart when it comes to their sins. Love demands nothing less. And so we have our Old Testament lesson for today from Ezekiel 18. Therefore, house of Israel, I will judge each one of you according to his ways. Repent and turn from all your rebellious acts so they will not become a sinful stumbling block to you. Throw off all the transgressions you have committed and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why should you die, house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in anyone's death. So repent and live. This was a tremendous declaration of love towards sinners and towards us. All right, let's go on to the second son. He said yes, but he never did work in the vineyard. They are sinners no less and no more than the first son. They say yes to working in the vineyard. They appear to have great intentions. They say the right things, but the bottom line is they do not listen to either John the Baptist or Jesus. They do not change their minds. They do not repent, even though they are just as full of sin. They do not turn and believe what John the Baptist said about Jesus, that he is the Son, the Messiah, the Lord, the King, and the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. You know, it's interesting, even when they see that first son, those quote-unquote obvious sinners, they see them turn and find in Jesus forgiveness, find in Jesus life, find in Jesus real meaning and real joy. Find in Jesus a changed life. Find in Jesus works of love for others. They still have no interest in true repentance. And therefore, Jesus, the real Jesus, has no meaning for them. Jesus said in our text, John came to you in the way of righteousness. In the way of righteousness means in the God-established, blood-bought righteousness. Not your own righteousness, but the God-established, blood-bought righteousness. That's why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1, "It is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became wisdom from God for us." That is our righteousness, our sanctification, our redemption. Christ is everything, including our righteousness. So, we proceed here at the end of the sermon on the assumption that you are all like the first son. By nature, you are sinful and unclean. By nature, and at first, you all said, "No, God, I will not go and work in your vineyard. I want to remain in my sin." But at some point, for most of you, as you were washed in the waters of baptism as an infant, for others of us here somewhat later, and Jesus as your righteousness. And so you can say with the Apostle Paul, Philippians 3, "I consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Because of him I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung, so that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that is through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith." So there's the difference. Remain on the right side of that difference. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.